it's a prison of endless possibility.
Hey, everybody, it's Sam Adams, one half of your Watchers of the Plus. I have crawled into the Sarlacc pit and grabbed one Philip Moselak out, and we are ready to chat with you about the latest big finales of, internet nerd streaming. Mose, yeah. How you doing?
Well, I had my armor on, and then somehow my armor wasn't on me.
So then I went three steps back to see if it was there, even though I know I didn't have it when I left there.
Yeah, I think there was a back. there was a back to tank somewhere involved in that.
The convenient back-to-tank story plot device, yes.
Goodness gracious, who knew back-to-tanks were so goddamn important in Star Wars?
I hope that we don't have anybody that was really hoping for us to tune in and really talk about how amazing Boba Fett was, because, guys, it's going to get shitty here in a minute.
not going to lie. Let me read to you. Now, obviously, things happened for the past couple of weeks, and you probably all have seen something. But I want to read back to you on Wednesday, February 9th. I said to Sam via text, I'm a quarter into the finale. Ken suck my dick. Half in eating my jizz. So I was really not happy about what I saw. I think the Mandalorian stuff was, I guess, okay. But, like, I thought Mandalorian had it as own show. I didn't think we had.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest complaint, is that the only good part of the show was episodes of The Mandalorian. And it almost like they burnt through an overarching season 3 whole plot line. Like, that could have been the entire season. Part of me wonders where there's supposed to be little check-ins with Mando throughout the season. And it wasn't supposed to be two episodes. It was supposed to be like, almost like it was a mix of the two shows.
I don't know. I feel like, I feel like
the show, if you went into the editing room and like get the guy that made the Phantom edit to go back and re-edit the show, and I think it would be better, but it's also some lipstick on a pig situation to where it could be better, but boy, so a little bit of writing. I'm kind of in shock that the same people in charge of Mandalorian made the show, because it feels so thrown together. Like, I
don't buy it. I don't think
I honestly have bitches about every episode. Like we talked about, and I guess Boba Fett's biggest thing is, you know, getting knocked in the Sarlacc pit. So he's supposed to be kind of a goofus, but like, he gets knocked around like a rag doll constantly. And it's like, okay, so he's getting his ass kicked all the time. So he must be really smart, right? No, doesn't do anything smart. All his people argue with him at every chance they get. His big contribution to the Tusken Raiders is destroying a train that gets their entire tribe killed when he tries to bribe the train owners about the whole thing. And then he's like, He looks somewhat verklempt when he picks up the bodies of every one of his newfound family and burns them all and throws their gaffy sticks on the fire. Like, who was Boba Fett before the show, and how did he change? I mean, okay. All we got was people going, "Yo, boy, you've changed." Well, who the fuck was he before this?
Right.
Like,
I got excited
when we got the flashbacks to Kamino. I'm like, oh, cool. We're going to get some prequel flashbacks. Nah, just this flashback of a kid running after a ship, but that may have been in the prequels. I'm not 1,000% sure if that was just reused footage or not. So that's all we get to know about. But like, we could have got flashbacks with Darth Vader. We could have got flashbacks with Cad Bane. Like, I think half of the show should have been before he gets out of the, or before he gets his armor. And, you know, don't like, did it feel like he was with the Tusken Raiders for 5 years?
Not at all.
Yeah. When he goes to Sarlacc pit, he's all, that's where I lost my armor all those years ago. I'm all, years? I thought it's been like 3 weeks.
Yeah, to hell you say.
Yeah. Like, the passage of time makes no sense. Like, and I only knew that because I had to go look up on Google, what year did the last Star Wars movie of the original like 4 ABY or whatever, and the Mando stuff takes place in like 9 ABY. So I only knew from Google that it's been 5 years since that third movie that Boba Fett was actually in, between that and Mando.
So, like, here's my thought on things. At first, I was a little confused, and I thought to myself, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm doing exactly what everyone else is doing, and shit was built up in my mind of who Boba Fett is based on very, very limited screen time. Oh, we're talking about movies, OG, and based on a book that I read, okay? And I was like, you know, I guess I'm basing that around that. And that character, when I thought about him, was the Mandalorian. The Mandalorian always had his helmet on. He didn't talk very much. And when he did say something, it was kind of striking. It was the man with no name. And it was very, very interesting. And that was what was captivating about it. And then when you bring Boba Fett into the mix, everything that I thought Boba Fett was wrong. And
I don't know why they ever let him take his helmet off. It's not like he was doing any big acting with his face. It was like grouchy, and he didn't even look that grouchy. When his Tusken Raider family died, I had this watch it a second time to be like, oh, at the end when he's watching the fire pile, there's a slight tear in his eye that appears, like, who knows, they probably had to add it in with CGI.
What they play at, in my mind, like, I guess the way I see it is, he gets his ass beat all the time because he's aged. I mean, but I'm not sure if that's what's supposed to happen or not.
And they could have had some fun with that, like, oh, he's a clone, and so he ages differently, and he's aged a lot over the last 5 years. Like maybe that's how you show the passage of time with the Tusken Raiders, is that while he survived, it aged him terribly. And that way, you know, it's been years. How long? So he was there years. How long did they make him wear that tore up spacesuit? Like, how long was he walking around in pajamas with holes in them before they finally gave him?
But we know Timothy Oliphant has the armor, and we get no clue
as to why he was looking at Mando with the armor. Like, none, no backstory with that. And then we get to the whole present day. And that's the thing. I think the Tusken Raiders thing could have been really cool. I thought some of it was really silly. I think that maybe they should have shown, like, it would have been neat if it started off that he thought he was a prisoner, and they're like, no, we don't know how to communicate with you guys, but we know that if we let you go, you'll die out there. So we capture you and make you work for your water, because we don't have enough water to keep you alive.
What you just said is so much more fascinating than what I saw.
Yeah. And maybe, like, I don't know, a little bit of effort when you're pretending to do hand signals. Like, he's doing full sentences and he's like pointing once. And it's like, that's supposed to be like, we're going to go over there and steal the spice or something like that. And he just goes there.
But of all the tropes that are in canons, and this is where I have a fundamental issue, is that spice is never a thing in Star Wars. What is it in? Dune. And it's like, are we sure that was the right thing to do? And then
it's different too, because spice is a different, like, in Dune, spice is fuel, and in Star Wars, spice is a drug. Which, that's the thing. Here's the other thing. Has anyone in this that made this show ever seen The Godfather, The Sopranos, The Wire? Have you ever seen a crime anything? He just shows up and he's like, I'm the crime lord. I'm the daimyo. Oh, hey, what's a daimyo? I don't know. We're never going to explain that. You know, yeah. You should Google that, because apparently that's the only way you're going to figure out what the fuck it is. And then we don't get any idea. So we got the lizard people, which I found out from a different podcast. Apparently they hunt Wookiees, and they show them actually hand over like a fur when they first get
there. The Trandoshans are?
Yeah, the Trandoshans, I guess, which makes it even stupider that he sends Black Chrysanthemum to the fucking Trandoshan territory by himself when they're Wookiee hunters. Like, it's just, he gets his ass kicked constantly. His strategy is terrible, and his people don't believe in him, and he doesn't really inspire any hope. Like, I don't understand what this show was supposed, like, who, all you had to do was make Boba Fett a badass, and he gets his ass kicked by Jawas, Tuskens, fucking those assassins in the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
That they're like, hey, we're going to come kill you, so we're going to put these energy things around you and then shock you. What a sad, like, remember in the first prequel, they had that little dart thing that would, like, kill somebody instantly. What are these assassins? There's 12 assassins surrounding you, and we're gonna buzz you to death. We're gonna shock you like you're in fucking Jackass.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how we're gonna kill you.
Same. You're not wrong. And then
the Black Chrysanthemum trying to kill him in the thing. He's like, I'm gonna show up, and rather than just slit your throat or shoot you in the head, I'm gonna pull you out of this thing and throw you across the room and laser punch you with my, like don't Wookiees have claws that they can just tear a man's guts out with or something? Like,
just sheer strength. And
why does he have electric knuckles?
But Sam, we did get to see a Wookiee tear somebody's arm off.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I saw this Black Chrysanthemum, and I was, is that what you say his name? I don't know. I think I'm seeing a flower.
You are, but I'm not going to worry about it. I want to keep that as the name.
Yeah. Dark Chewie, or however you want to call him. So I don't know. He looked cool. And then he constantly is like hitting people with his gun instead of shooting it. And I don't get it. Like, there was no, it was worse strategy than the Battle of the Bastards for Game of Thrones. There was no, like, there was no motivation for anybody. Like, we're behind the town. Like, I feel like the boys on the Weekly Planet said it best. They're like, he's a guy that loves the town or something like that. And there's why does he love this town? What made him fall in love with it? Like, the only thing he ever did with it was tell the water vendor to charge less for water, and thus waste Steven Root on two episodes in Star Wars for no reason.
But you remember, like, in The Sopranos, when you had, or in Goodfellas, any like mobster related stuff, you had these intricate plot lines of how do I get my nut? And how,
well, like, this guy, yeah, this guy controls the drugs, and this guy controls he goes to that bar, and it's just a bar, like, with some poker tables.
And they had,
like,
to sit down with the five families, which didn't really mean a whole lot. Yeah, and then we had a Godzilla routine, which we're going to get to. I don't want to get
like,
there.
Yeah, have
fast.
Have one of them be smugglers. Have one of them be, like, obviously the other guys are spice runners. Like, have it be, like, to where they have certain things, and like, there's a, like, instead they just go like, oh, well, they own this part of town and they own this part of town. Like, I don't, like, who cares? Nobody cares about the layout of this town. Like, but, like, well, I think I heard somebody else say the whole point of Tatooine is it's supposed to be out in the middle of nowhere. So maybe have it be that these are all different family, like crime families that don't even do crime here. This is just where they're stationed so that nobody, like,
right.
This is their, like, match. They're going to the mattresses. Like, again, I don't feel like anybody in this has ever watched a mob thing. Like, the whole plot lines are
they didn't get
the provolone cheese or the Vespa scooters or you know what I mean? Like, you have to come up with can't just say these guys are crime guys and they're doing crimes all the times. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Crimes,
like,
all the time.
Oh yeah, they do all the crimes. It's just like, what crimes? Like, so they're
fuck up.
Yeah, it just, I literally, like, I could go around this in circles. Like,
But look, Sam, I mean, look.
And also, like, did they cheap out on the show, or was this maybe one of the first shows that really got, like, COVIDed? Because it's like, the people of Freetown showed up, these 12 people on this little thing. Like, they couldn't have filmed that, like, two or three times and had made it look like more people showed up, or, like, it just never seemed like there was that many, like, bad guys on the, again, they're fighting on, like, a street. Nobody's taking the high ground.
They forgot what they were doing. They started with a Western, and they wanted to do that, but they really did not need to do the Western part. They could have done a smaller portion of that and instead made this a gangster film and a gangster series. And they screwed up. They didn't know which way to go. And then they started to invest.
Well, I think they partially wanted. Yeah, it's like they partially wanted to be a gangster show. They partially wanted to be like a, he's a sheriff of this town, but if you want to do a sheriff thing, do the Oliphant, you know?
Yeah,
like, what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you had kind of carte blanche with this to where Boba Fett could have been whatever you wanted. And I get that. I guess part of what the whole show is him learning maybe to be less of a one man show and more part of a tribe. But, like, man, you really got to reach to find that. And they just throw Cad Bane at the end, which, like, only reason I even know about him is because I watched The Bad Batch and he showed up and I found out, oh, he's like a fan favorite. And him and Fennec Shand fight in The Bad Batch. And so it's like, well, so wait, they know each other, like, but like, why, there's no interaction. Like,
but Sam,
why is he
Sam,
trying? Why is, yeah.
But Sam, just, Fennec Shand is more powerful than Boba Fett.
First episode, they both get their, he gets his ass kicked. The only person he takes out is he shoots with a fucking knee missile. And as he's laying on the ground, he's like, Fennec, alive. And she fucking chases him down, kills one of them, takes the other hostage. Meanwhile, the pigs are throwing his worthless body into the fucking, the tube or whatever.
They did too much in one season. And they basically kind of broke it because they jumped into way too many storylines. Like, why not just almost have all?
I think it could have been all prequel, basically. Yeah, it could have been before he got his armor.
Yeah, like, and it could have been all a majority of it Sam people, and at the end maybe he gets his armor. I don't know. You know, it just,
yeah, it's like the whole thing is like, so in this world, the way you become the daimyo is you just kill him and maybe his couple like lieutenants or whatever. So it's like, it's like basically going into the Sopranos and being like, I killed Tony and so and so and so and so, and now I'm the head of the Sopranos.
But like, it doesn't work that way, Sam.
No,
you know
it
that.
Doesn't work that way. That's why I was like, explain, like, it make this make a little bit more sense. Like, make this, if you're gonna make this world. And that's why I'm really surprised that it was made by Favreau and Filoni, because they've done such a good job with this other stuff.
Okay, but the problem is who directed a lot of those episodes?
Didn't Robert Rodriguez do like three of them?
And
I don't know much about him, but I'm starting to learn. Like how many times in the finale did you see someone spin before they shot somebody? And I was like, it was one of those things. It bothered me, and I didn't know why until someone pointed it out. And they're like, "Oh, that's his yes. thing." And there's like at one point, problem. Really, when the mod guy with the eyeball, he's facing the person he's going to shoot, and he spins and does a complete 360 to shoot him. And I was like, "What the fuck was that for?" Like, I don't get it. Like, these mod people, what, their mods are awful. One guy's got a kicky leg. Yeah, he's got a leg that kicks. One guy's got a blowtorch wrist. You know, their mods don't do anything cool. Like, the guy with the robotic eye isn't the sharpshooter. Okay, it's the girl that carries around the literal, like, girl gun.
Sam, and then the
why does she have to have a tiny little, like, it might as well have been pink. Like, okay, it was so ridiculous. Yeah,
but But Sam, the important part is that she looks at Fennec and Fennec looks at her, and they know that they're who's really in charge and who know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, and just the whole mods thing. I mean, the speeder bikes are dumb. They look like refrigerators mixed with old 57 Chevys. You know, they also look like, you know, everything in Star Wars I've always looked at, be like, oh man, wouldn't that be cool to ride like Luke's speeder bike, mm-hmm. speeder car, or the speeder bikes in the Endor, or like, which are in this show. But yet they're like, nah, we need different speeder bikes. You know, it would be cool. Something that looks like the thing on the merry-go-round that doesn't go up and down and just stays stationary. Like, that's what I want to ride. Like, they don't look cool. They don't look like they should move. And them, and they don't look like they belong in Star Wars. Like, the whole thing about Star Wars is that it's this lived-in world. And here's these people that look like they just got out of, like, a cosplay, like, actor's workshop studio dress rehearsal with brand-new tailored clothes on that have never been dirty, yet they live in Tatooine, and they have these bright-colored, like, merry-go-round fucking thing. Like,
it's all part of the plan.
Yeah, they brought absolutely nothing to the table, which I think could have been cool. Like, I get it. Like, okay,
it's not their time. Like, that's like a season three arc. Like, when you don't have much going on, you bring these new mods in, so then you can create some sort of storyline where basically Boba Fett is neutered all the way down to the ground, and you have a whole new cast of characters without Boba Fett, and maybe some of these take off.
And plus, it's like, he's so much more intimidating with the mask on. Like, I would have left that as part of it.
Sam,
like,
that's why we all loved him.
Yeah, it just...
it's bullshit. And I need to cut to the end game of this.
Because Black Kashyyyk, by the way, I think I just figured out the Chewie's name.
Kashyyyk is the freaking planet. Anyway, I skipped an episode. Obviously, it was the one with Danny Trejo. Danny Trejo is a national gem.
Yeah, again, another actor wasted in the show. Danny, this shows you the like where I think either the writing is lazy or the editing. They changed the edit because the Hutts show up and give him this.
No,
rancor.
The story was chopped down to almost non-existence, and then the happy rancor becomes the unstoppable force at the end.
Here's the thing though. Like that episode where he gets it, they show up and Trejo's got it on the little thing. Yep. And I'm like, cool. The very next scene is him meeting the Rancor in the dungeon, asking about it. And he goes, I'd like to start spending more time with it. You just got it. Any time you spend with it is more time than you've ever spent with it. Right. Well, it's it's almost like it was a homework assignment and four people were putting it together and they all wrote parts of it and then they just put it together and then didn't like check with each other.
I'll tell you what, Boba Fett, you do that and let Fennec Shand handle business.
Yeah. I mean, and just show what that means. Like you're expecting money is, oh, I have plenty of money. Where are you getting the money from? Like I get it. Like why do they feel the need to give you tribute just because you're in this palace? Like,
because you killed a douchebag character at the beginning?
Yeah, which I just, again, it just, none of it makes any sense. It just, and like, really think about it, going into this year, this season or whatever, you'd have been like, hey, there's a Peacemaker show and a Boba Fett show. You'd be like, oh, cool, I'll check out Peacemaker, but I'm excited for Boba Fett. And boy, they couldn't have been, it's almost like it goes to show you that, like, don't be afraid of an R rating, just make it good. Like, it's just this insistence on like, I mean, we had a show about crime lords and assassins and stuff, and there's not a drop of blood. There's a guy's arm gets ripped off, no blood. I mean, I know Star Wars is pretty.
Yeah,
pretty,
I mean, it's fairly bloodless. Yeah, bloodless, you're correct.
But still, it's just, you know, we get the Hutts. Hey, we're gonna get you. Okay, we're not gonna get you. And it's just like the, you know, there's like the mayor, he's going like, why'd you send these assassins after me? And the mayor's like, why don't you go talk to this bar lady? And he goes talk to the bar lady. He's like, why do you tell me to come here? And she's like, you haven't heard. And it's just like, it's literally like little CW-esque shit of like, you need to go talk to this person. Or we're gonna go talk
I'm
to
telling
this
you, person. Sam, I think I said this before when we were talking about the show. This show feels like not only fan service, the series, but it feels like people who did not really grow up with this stuff, but they watched all the movies and then it became like a student film that became a series. And like they jammed so much garbage into it. And it's like, wouldn't it be cool if you wrote a rancor? But does it make any sense? Like, you got to give me some sort of context around that. Like, that feels like an Endgame type situation. Like, we're like, I don't have any other options, like where this thing might kill me if I actually do this. But no, it's just a big dog and it has Godzilla level powers. But then we have the whole Grogu thing.
It took all the oomph out of even the rancor or anything. You didn't care because it was really like, it was really Grogu that was saving the day half the time. And like that's the other thing too, is as much as like I got like emotional when they hugged, you know, and he literally force jumps into Mando's arms, it still felt like this shouldn't be happening during a battle and this shouldn't be happening in this show. Like, even though like it's the only thing I liked about the show was that, oh cool, I basically got three episodes of The Mandalorian when I wasn't, for a show that I wasn't nearly as excited about. And I was literally like staying up till midnight to watch it and then falling asleep halfway through episodes. Cause it, what, like, that's never, that didn't happen for me for WandaVision, for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, for Mando, anytime, any of these shows that I've been like, it's Tuesday or it's Thursday and I'm staying up till midnight because I'm excited about it. I never once fell asleep. And Boba Fett, consistently, I was just like watching this guy take a nap in the fucking pit.
They, they started dicking around with the Mandalorian with have you taken your helmet off? I mean, these are big things. These are big ideas that are forming in there, which is nice because maybe that translates into the next Mandalorian. But then we get this whole thing, and I just don't know how I feel about it. You know, you start bringing the starfighter from, you know, whatchamacallit, the phantom retardedness. And like that whole setting up and putting an engine block and a blower in the top. I look and I get it. And I know I understand what they're paying homage to. They're basically saying, you know, we know George Lucas, we know he likes hot rods, and we know we're doing these kind of things. And it's like, and then you have this dome at the top. It's like, duh. Like, I mean, like,
well, I kind of like that just because I thought it was a fun way of putting a little bit of that prequel stuff in there.
I did too.
But then I think they Star Wars'd it up a little bit where it's like, okay, instead of it just being this like CGI creation that just zooms off and flies perfectly, here it is acting like a little bit more of a machine, a little bit more of a hot rod. Like that's what I feel like, that's way more forgivable than those fucking mod racer bike things
that 100%,
never did anything 100%. Cool.
But like, in the context of everything that I saw in Boba Fett, it was like, you assholes, you pushed your bullshit into Mandalorian and you didn't have to, but you did anyway. And I still don't understand. We're watching Boba Fett. Mandalorian had no business being in there. Like I could see it.
Well, I could see a cameo of him just showing up to help something.
Yes, but not two full episodes.
No, that was, I mean, again, as much as I enjoyed him because it was better than Boba Fett, it felt out of place. And also like when people started asking, they're like, so there's people that are going to show up to Mandalorian season 3 and be like, all right, I watched the last 2 seasons, I'm ready to go. And they'd be like, I thought Grogu went with Luke. What the fuck? What's going on here? And it's like, oh yeah, you had to watch 3 episodes of this other show to understand what's going on.
Was there any payoff with the Mithril armor that freaking Yucko made for Grogu?
I mean, he was wearing it, but I don't think it ever actually did anything.
See, but that's not even a payoff. See, like the idea with the Mithril armor, and again, you're crossing streams that I think you ought not to cross. Now you're getting into friggin' Lord of the Rings for no goddamn reason. And like, have him get shot. Have the friggin' Rancor bite into Grogu, but because he's got this magical armor on, I'm sorry, not magical, it's just super strong. But like, I guess we're gonna have that payoff later, but like, don't even bother showing it. And the one thing I did like, and it was from Shogun Assassin, the idea of Luke Skywalker saying, choose the ball or choose the blade. Like, you know, you choose one, you join your mother in death, choose the sword and you join me. That could have been very, very cool. And it was,
but that's coming from the guy that left Yoda to go save his friends.
Yep.
Like, why is he any different? Like, and maybe that's one thing I think that maybe could have been explained a little bit better is if he was like, hey, look, I'm going to age at the same rate as this Mandalorian guy. So I'm only going to be around to teach you for so long. So if you go be with him, he's going to die one day. You're going to be 100 and you're going to have 900 more years to live. And I'm not going to be around to teach you about how to use the Force. But he should have just been like, hey, come back when you're ready. Or like,
imagine if he actually said that. But maybe
he had attachment to his dad and they're all worried about him having attachment to Mando. And like, well, wait a minute. Your attachment to your father is what like saved the galaxy. Yep. So, because your dad actually was the chosen one, well, and he brought the Force by throwing the Emperor over.
Yeah, love.
Yeah. So why is Ahsoka, and especially Ahsoka, is like obviously she believes that you can be Force sensitive and one with the Force without being a Jedi. So it's just, I don't know. It seems weird that Luke didn't necessarily follow all this stuff and then was like, all right, I gotta be a space priest, you know. Well, and you know, that second episode, this is why I asked if this show got COVID-y, because like, did it ever look like that Tusken tribe had more than about 15 people in it? Imagine Jon Snow walking down to the camps of
The winter people,
the Northmen, yeah. You know, and how massive those were. And then it's like, literally he walks by like three tents. I think it was like at one point I did weird things. Like when they had the big fire ceremony, I paused at the end. There were 24 people around the fire.
Okay. So when he
brings the speeder bikes back, he brings back four speeder bikes, but when they're in the battle against the train, there are six speeder bikes. So it's just shit like that bothers me, where I'm just like, couldn't put the same amount that he had on the thing as with, you know, just stupid. It's literally like lazy, stupid writing.
Think about this.
It only takes like eight people to carry around a two Jabba the Hutts. They should have had like 25 people.
I don't even want to talk about that. That was awful. But you bring up a good point. It's like, if I have a movie like The Italian Job, where I have, I don't know, what was it, four minis.
The Mini Coopers,
Then all of a sudden I have six. You'd be like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, all of a sudden there's like a green one and a...
my head canon on the Sand People is that you have to be a smaller, tight-knit group. Because if you aren't, or like if having more... causes a problem. You can't distribute resources well. So they have to work in small groups. Now, I would think that those small groups would be somehow in contact with each other, much like the nomadic, you know, people on Earth are.
Maybe they trade with each other absolutely. Kind of thing like that. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, no, I think this show could have been, I would have had a third of it be before Mando. I would have had flashbacks to I think that you needed to show some sort of something that Boba and Cad Bane even knew each other. I think that if you go back and watch the finale, like even knowing that, it's very like sparse that you even realize they recognize each other. And like, it's so done. They're like, he's trying to get you to draw first. Fucking why? All they want to do is kill him. He's standing right there. Why are they not just shooting at him? I don't get that. Like, it doesn't make any, like, why is he emotional about him? Like, he's like last lesson. So it's like, so I need to have watched like 12 seasons of cartoons to understand what's going on in this finale. Like, that's where it's like too fan servicey. And, you know, yeah, have some layers that you don't get into. But like, how about you show a flashback of Cad Bane and Boba Fett on a mission with commissioned by Darth Vader? And you have him telling him about, like, you know, only do what's good for you. Maybe he fucks him over and he teaches him, like, yeah, hey, there are no tribes, blah, blah. And then later you learn that he feels the value of being part of a tribe and being a leader of a tribe. Like,
well that
none of that
guy,
spelled out. Like,
yeah, but that Kane guy is essentially the Lee Van Cleef of the spaghetti westerns. You know, he is the antithesis to the man with no name. He is beyond hardened and evil. Like, that's fine. You can put him in that box. You don't have to give him much more than that. But there wasn't enough story there to bring him into this. And like, you need that conversation between the two, between him and Boba Fett, if that's where you're going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's saying it's like, I would have, you know, maybe have him, like, here's the thing, maybe have him be in it early. Like I said, have a flashback to show that they have a prior relationship. I'm telling you, they could have done some really cool flashback stuff with like Darth Vader, with some prequel stuff, or not prequel, but like original trilogy stuff that showed which give us an idea of what he was like before so that we can see him change. And then I think that you... two-thirds of the show could have been that and the Tusken stuff. And then you just get into him setting up the crime families and showing up and maybe bringing some order. And then you have the spice trade thing be like a season two, like tease or something. But I mean, I guess that doesn't give you the big battle at the end, but again, it just felt like they cheaped out on this a little bit. I don't get it.
I don't think they knew what they wanted to do. I think it was just like, whoa, you're going down big territory. And if you're going to do it, you need to make sure that we all understand, because of our limited knowledge of Boba Fett, you've got to make that lock in and tell us that story so that we not only do we understand it, but we accept it you know, and some people might not, but like you've got to bring those people up to speed. You cannot leave us 40 years removed and create a story. I don't know.
So let me rapid fire some of my notes of stupid things in this show. 18 seconds after they stop Black Chrysanthemum from trying to assassinate Boba, which again, one of my least favorite tropes is I'm here to kill you. Let me punch you a lot. 18 seconds after that, the Hutts are already there to apologize. I was like, that's some Game of Thrones, Danny to the rescue type news movement right there. They're trapped. I'll be right there. Yeah. Let's see. The time jumps are ridiculous. I don't know why he thought that he needed to go back to the pit to get his armor. Like, he knows he used the armor to get out. Like, did he think it fell off his body? Like,
well, and then Slave One, which I don't know if you caught this. They changed the name of Slave One to,
which again I think is an overreaction. Like,
very much so. But then the thing, look, the whole like propulsion system. Again, I know this is fucking awfully nerdy, but I was just like, are you seriously like rotating your ship like in zero G on a planet? Fuck you.
Yeah. And it's like, so this same monster that couldn't pull Lando Calrissian down can pull an entire ship down, you know? So it's just shit like that where it's like, so we're being inconsistent with the world. We're being inconsistent with these characters. You know, like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, if it's 5 years, why do we not see that little Tuscan dude grow up? Oh, like that would have been an interesting thing. And have him be like, have them be buddies and like,
Sam,
have
could,
him.
Could you write this for me, please?
Yeah. Having finding his little buddy that he helped raise to be like a badass. Like, they both learned the gaffy stick at the same time and they trained together or something. And he, you know, they've been on adventures together and now he's dead or something. Like, it's just, yeah.
Okay,
just
Sam, I want to go through our text real quick. Okay, so I start out with fucking insulting. You say, why do we care about Boba? They didn't even attempt anything to explain the character or motivations. Fuck all. I say they blew it. They should have given you nothing to care about. Best episodes are Mando-centric. Force fields are gay. You say, ha ha. You talk about the steampunk cosplayers. I said they can suck my asshole clean. I skipped that episode. Cutaway woman makes impact bullshit. It's insulting to women, I say. I hated the mods. The fake eye thing. I said it's dumb as fuck.
Yeah, it looked like cosplay. Like, that looked like, hey, check out this fake robot eye I made to wear to San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Yeah. And I said, Godzilla and Star Wars, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the Rancor should have been cooler.
Yeah. This show gives me low testosterone.
Yeah. Like, the Walking Dead esque actors who don't know how to handle a gun, making it look super fake things. I mean, just so disappointing. And then meanwhile, we've got, you know,
hey, Sam. Yeah. Sam, can I just tell you something? Yeah. There's a show that we watched where people know how to use guns and know how to use them well.
And you know what? They don't even have to be looking like action stars. They can look like comedians like Steve Agee or whoever that actress is that plays. Oh, man, here's another name I'm going to butcher. I can't think of. Man, I'm going to look it up because I'm
okay.
Not going to.
So while Sam's looking it up, I want to tell you all about a great show that actually supersedes Doom Patrol for me. And whatever you say is what I'm going to go with. But there, the show Peacemaker is seriously
shockingly great.
Shockingly great. You are absolutely correct. I did not want to like this. I don't like John Cena. I did like the new Suicide Squad.
And he was funny in it, but
I fell in love with the whole thing and I didn't want to.
I didn't, you know, it was one of those deep cut DC people that, like, much like the Guardians of the Galaxy, I didn't know shit all about.
I knew about Vigilante and they completely rewrote him, which pissed me off at first. And I was just, then I was like, well, wait a minute. Maybe I do like this. maybe it does make sense in this James Gunn, let's blow stuff up, recombobulate it, and do it and create a good story. Wow. This is how you do it.
And look at just James Gunn's like journey in all of this.
Horror and film director, B-level horror film.
Well, and Peacemaker. Look at this. James Gunn kind of taking a guy who in the last movie was pretty awful, would kill anybody, didn't care.
And why? But know, we didn't know why.
Would kill children, sure, would kill children, do whatever. And here's him going, here's this guy that I showed you that you thought was black heart, terrible. And here's me showing you he's really not that bad a guy. And look at what he grew up with. And, you know, boy, does that sound like it hits home for somebody that maybe got some shit for some bad tweets and, you know, got painted as this terrible guy when really he made a mistake. And maybe he, you know, I think James Gunn knows a thing or two about people coming for some trauma or something, because he sure knows how to write it and how to make characters. Like, God, give him Boba Fett. It would have been
I think that's a step too
far. No, yeah, we don't need Boba Fett cursing quite much like this, but you know, hey, he could have said one Star Wars curse. He never even like seemed to get mad.
The thing, frankly, the show at the end of the day, I don't give a rat's ass, and I'm just going to go ahead and here we go, real quick. If you haven't seen it, so at the end, I was super, actually kind of excited and surprised and delighted. I don't love Ezra Miller. In fact, I think he's a shit Flash. But I think having that brief cameo of the Justice League and then Peacemaker saying, you know, y'all are late, go fuck yourselves, whatever he says, I think was fantastic.
I almost felt like that should be our intro to this show, is that, you know, since we're always about a week behind getting these out, it's like, hey, you fucking assholes, you're late.
Yeah.
Hey, that was great. And that's what I think, that sometimes that's all the connectivity you need. Like most of the connectivity of the wider DC universe was Amanda Waller and Peacemaker and him talking shit about all these heroes, that it's like, it's basically him just talking shit like somebody like I heard on Facebook type of bullshit. And, you know, where it's commenting on how we all think we know everything because of our little bubbles. We see little blurbs about things.
And there was identity politics in it that was not blown up in my face, where it was actually like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Like it didn't feel rammed down my throat and put into my butt so that I would just accept it.
And not just a blind bad guy at the end where you go, oh, well, this is good. I need good versus evil. It's like, oh, no, yeah, they're a little bit right in that we are so polarized that we do have trouble getting shit done that we even all agree on, but we still can't seem to get like things done. And, you know, maybe somebody that just took over and did it for us wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And how I was like, oh shit, is he gonna help? And that's how great is that he didn't help him. And at the end of the day, he goes, I actually thought they were right. And I would have liked to help him, but you guys' friendship meant so much to me. I couldn't betray you guys. And I was just like, God dang, if that doesn't break your heart. And just again, this is one of those shows where half of them make you want to cry when you're just like, I mean, how many superhero shows do you see where someone goes to their room and cries?
You don't. And like, even the idea of like, my father is the worst person in the world, and yet he's made me this technology to do something about the world, even though, you know, technically he forced me indirectly to kill my own brother. I mean, these are layers and layers deep. And then you have, again, I want to bring in Vigilante because I think he's an interesting, not only a sidekick to the whole thing, which is counter to the comics. It was Vigilante who was had his comic, and Peacemaker was like a person that he actually ended up killing. But, you know, that kind of spun it really on its head. But and this absolute sociopath that's Vigilante, and like somehow you care about him. And not only that, Vigilante actually begins to love Chris, so much so that he goes to jail to kill his dad.
Yeah, and I just, yeah, that whole thing was really interesting, and just the layers of Mern, and how at first you think he's this just badass mercenary guy, and then it turns out it's an alien inhabiting this badass mercenary, and he's trying to play that. And then at the end, you see him, his emotionality of like, I feel awful. I took this guy's life, but it was my only way to get in the system and try and stop all this. So it's like, I have to live with it. Like, just the layers of things of like, of discussing what's going on. And just, I just loved the show. Like, really, like, Eagly is, he's easily like one of the top five, you know, top five fucking sidekick.
Oh, absolutely. Whatever's. Well, and you think about this, you didn't know that you brought this up in my head, but I can't not say it. Like, when Eagly is going to take one of the helmets and blow up the barn, and that all messes up. And then that moment, you don't have very many of these in shows. And it really stood out to me. Steve Agee's role, I thought, was fantastic, especially when he has to go into the barn and he comes to terms with, like, yeah, I dye my beard, all this stuff. And then he breaks his leg. I know that I'm spanning a lot longer distance and condensing it down, but like, AG's character actually also had layers to it. I mean, every single one of these characters had layers. Now, I contrapose this with Fennec Shan. Okay, so she died and got robotic parts. That's all I know.
Yeah, and she's like, I think I'm going to stick around for a while and be the brains of this the brains and the muscle of this operation. I'm going to be the one person that knows what's going on anywhere, even though some of my ideas are dumb too. Like, I just, he was the sad, lonely guy. And then you see him at the end, he's going back to Belle Reeves and he's super bummed. And then he pulls that picture out of the 11th Street Boys or the 11th Street Gang or whatever. And, you know, he gets his one little moment of happiness. And, I actually heard him on a podcast talking about how in the movie, James Gunn was like, I think I want you to dye your beard, but have it be like a darker color than your hair. And so he's like, so I had this goofy beard. And then for this, he's like, I think I want to dye it even worse, but then have the roots, you know, come out. And he's like, oh my God, you're making me look like a hobo.
Yeah. But to make that be this major plot
point of the show. Like,
yeah.
That's just the time they take to for the character development and the, you know, and meanwhile, it's still an interesting story. And we're, you know, like, they even get to have the whole argument is Batman a monster for not killing his victims? Like, literally, like, one of the oldest comic book arguments of all time is like, why has he not put the Joker down yet?
Yeah.
Like, what an asshole.
And then to throw rumor into things. That, you know, Aquaman does fuck dolphins.
Yeah. Oh man. And to have him being like, I'm so that thing at the end was great. Like, that's the way I think that DC should be doing this, is that go ahead and have a couple different universes. Who cares? Like, I'm fine with Robert Pattinson having his own Batman universe.
Sure.
Like, I get it that I think that would be weird if he's like, I'm just a guy who's got this tech, and then all of a sudden there's an alien that flies around that does stuff. Like, I think it throws it off. It's like, I always felt like the Justice League movies, it was hard for Batman to look cool, because like, how do you look cool when everybody's faster, stronger, like flies, well, powers?
And I'm almost appreciative. I'm not appreciative. I can appreciate the fact that they want DC to have this hard boiled, serious tone that Snyder kind of laid the foundation for, but that there can be another layer. Not a multiverse, but another layer, that steps back. Almost, this is the foundation that Deadpool set, and like, where we can have fun, and also not only just fun, but genuine emotions, like, and a spectrum of emotions, not just, you know, rock 'em sock 'em, good guy's gonna win, you know, or and in the second act whole type stuff. But like you can create these much broader, more interesting narratives about characters that are extremely small, but are more satisfying than some of the things that I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the more well-written shows I've seen in a while. You know, the dialogue's great. I guess for some people, it's just they're not going to get over the fact that it's, you know, you're chopping gorillas in half with chainsaws and saying, you know, fuck your mother half the time and stuff.
Well, I was thinking about this. I remember, I forget what the guy's name is on friggin' Hollywood Reporter who called Daredevil blood porn. That always stuck. That was a
crime. Oh, Tim Goodman.
Yeah,
that always surprised me too.
Well, it not only didn't surprise me, it stuck with me. And then I think to myself, like, I'm gonna tell you what, motherfucker. Like, actually, if you want to call blood porn, call it down the line. This one is way more.
Well, and I guess I just don't mind. Why do we want to have? Why do we want to sanitize
violence?
The violence. I don't get it. Like, well, I kind of grew up like I like Tarantino violence. Like, I don't mind.
It's called stakes.
Think about the Kill Bill and stuff. Like, yeah, there's a ton of blood in that, and I don't mind it because it's like it shows kind of the horror of it and the
that it's a bad thing.
Yeah. So I mean, like this, I thought the violence in this was great. Like, I literally said at one point, I'm like, look at the choreography of the final fight in Boba versus the final fight in this. And in this, you've got comedians like Steve Agee that's never done a thing ever. And he's in the middle of the battle fight. And this the actress playing Abadeo, like, she's no traditional action star. And she looks like a badass shooting aliens and stuff. And then they even make it realistic where it's like people are taking shots. They're going down.
But we have bookends with like, I was made for this. And because remember, she said in the episode one or two, I'm not made for this.
Yeah.
It was a clear arc.
See, yeah, it's just, yeah, like you said, I mean, maybe Vigilante is the only one that doesn't have a complete arc, but you know,
he's not supposed to.
But you know, that's something you open up for a season two as well. And it's not like his character didn't grow a little bit and you didn't learn more about him. Like,
he had friends. He's never had friends.
Yeah. He's this dorky younger brother that just wanted to be friends with this guy. And so he became like a superhero. And well, I mean, I don't know about superhero. And sometimes we kill people on accident. We're like, oh, that's a bummer, but we go on.
but he's a vigilante, like by his name. They actually made him what he is now in the, again, I keep going back to the comic and the source material. And honestly, this show transcends that and it's better for it, to be honest with you. Like, this is much more entertaining than the comic ever was.
And oh, I'm sure. I mean, I've seen the comics look like they're from the 40s or something. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's those old, like, the Vigilante drawing. Comic was a hard-boiled guy who, you know, got his dick wet every now and again and got the bad guy. But he was himself the bad guy. You know, but this was way different. Way more thought out. And again, I go back. I'm like, how did you think of this? Is it the people? Mm-hmm. Is it that James Gunn is just so damn good? No, I think he just took some time with it and explored something. And I don't think that exploration, and I think Star Wars is handcuffed in some ways where they try to do new things, but they just do it in the most just, you know, amputee kind of way.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I mean, and you look at it, it's not like Mandalorian's not violent. I mean, look at, they showed him cut a guy's head off. You know, he's using that dark saber. He's cut a guy in half going into a bar his very first episode. So it's like, there's a way to do it to make a guy look like a badass. And it's kind of like you said, it's kind of like they gave too much of Boba's traits to Mando. And so they tried to change it and it's come up to this just
they
buffoon
should not,
old man yes. that somehow is yeah. able to convince people to be on his side, and then he, and then a bad finale action sequence where all you care about is what's up with Grogu. Like, it's really the, you know, like, literally there's a point where I'm just like, oh, look at these people are pinned back. I'm like, well, who's there? The people of Freetown and the mods. Like, it's like, well, I hope Dan Doherty from Deadwood doesn't get got from Freetown. But other than that, I don't give a shit about these people.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And again, wouldn't it have been interesting if I would have loved if the one people, the Sam people who basically everyone.
Why did they not show up at the end?
You got
why?
It. Right.
Why, that's what they were. They even put a lantern on it where they're like, what about the Sam people? He goes, we took care of them. They won't be coming. And I was just like, how about he shows up on the Rancor with the Sand People and he flanks everybody. They take over, they kill all the soldiers, yeah. And the Rancor is the one that takes care of that. Now there's where I think the fan service is too much. You said it's the ship that Mando gets. I liked that. What I didn't like is, hey, we got a bigger version of those stupid droids that you guys really didn't like that much.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that was okay. I'm totally okay with that, too. Oh, yeah, like, and their shields are impenetrable.
They move around so slow that it's like you can be standing one click away to where they can shoot you, but it's like, hey, let's have a quick little convo and hash this out and not run or anything because you're 60 years old and you don't look that good when you run, so we better stand still.
But Sam, we've also been shown that this lightsaber apparently is beyond compare, and like, and if you don't use it the way it wants to be used, it becomes heavier.
I thought that was interesting that
how was that solved? I mean, like, why is that?
I don't know that it was. I think he was still having issues with it, but like,
and maybe that's okay. But I shouldn't know that yet.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm interested to find out is, does this mean, this is what this meant to me, was that, oh, either maybe Grogu is the Mandalorian that's going to lead everybody because he's a Mandalorian who has the Force. And so he could be that Mandalorian Jedi, like the one that forged that sword was, or Grogu.
Hold on. Time out for us. Just a second. When you say Grogu, you're saying Grogu's going to become a Mandalorian.
Well, he is. He's a Mandalorian foundling.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Technically, he's chosen to stay with the Mandalorian. So either A, is it him that's actually the Mandalorian that's gonna lead the people and learn and take the dark? But then again, that he'd have to defeat Din Djarin to have it. So maybe it's him. Maybe it's him. Now, my nerd friends push back on this, but I said maybe it's him teaching Din how to touch key, like not necessarily be a Jedi, but touch it or tap into the Force. And they're like, well, he's not Force sensitive. I'm like, well, neither was Finn until the third movie. And it's like, neither was Leia until the third movie.
Yeah. Don't bring up Finn. I think that's a bad argument.
Well, I actually liked Finn being Force sensitive and that being the reason that he maybe broke. They didn't plant that seed early on, but like, I think I like the idea. So it's like, well, maybe part of the reason he is such a good hunter and he has such great instincts is because he is a little Force sensitive. He just doesn't know it. And it's like, he's just so in tune with nature. And not that he's going to become the next Luke Skywalker, but maybe he becomes just enough like in tune with the Force that he learns how to use the darksaber and then becomes the leader of Mandalore. So I think there's interesting stuff there, but yeah, again, it's just that Boba Fett show. Like it's amazing how much I was going to wear. I was like, well, I'm going to watch this, but I'm really looking forward to Peacemaker. I can't wait to find out what happens.
Well,
there.
I didn't think I was going to really like either of them. I had a strong feeling that Boba Fett was not going to do what
previews did it no justice or didn't do it any like favors. The previews didn't make me go like, oh yeah. You could have done more with the Hutts. You could have done more. You could have done more with everything in there. Like,
I didn't want a show based around John Cena. He wasn't interesting to me. And yet I friggin'
Well, see, I thought he was so funny in Peacemaker that I was like, Suicide Squad that I was willing to give it a shot. Well, but yeah, I never thought it could be something. Yes. I literally would say, of the streaming,
was this all planned that after the Suicide Squad we were going to have Peacemaker, or did it become?
There's actually a really good interview with Kevin Smith that James Gunn did about a week ago. You can get it on YouTube or anything.
Kevin Smith. Oh. And,
yeah, and he talked about it, and he said basically it was just they'd finished the Suicide Squad. They were locked up in quarantine, and he really got along with John Cena, and he kind of hit up, and he's like, hey, dude, would you be interested in making like a Peacemaker show? Like, do you want to work together again? And they're like, yeah. So it just kind of came together where they're like, cool, let's make this. And he pitched it to HBO, and they're like, yeah, cool, let's do it, you know. So I think that, and think about it, they probably didn't spend a ton of money. I mean, they had some action sequences and stuff, but you know, there's also scenes, you know, there's also whole things where it's just people going into like a jail.
James Gunn is, as I understand him, and this is basically through like Zach Amico, who does Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, always also part of Gas Digital / Legion of Skanks. He deals a lot. He works for Troma, and that's where James Gunn also worked for Troma, you know, like the Toxic Avenger, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think James Gunn, not only as a writer, but also as a director and a producer, also understood how to make something like, I'm going to write this myself, and I can also make this, you know, fairly not impactful on a budget, and we can spend a majority of the budget on the people. And now, I quite honestly, I thought the FX were really good too.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a problem with the apparently there was no eagles on set, so Eagly was 100% CGI.
Yeah, very strong, very strong.
So no, I thought I think this is probably the best way for some of these companies to go, is like, give your B characters to somebody that's going to do something interesting with it. Yeah. And is going to shoot it well. And I mean, like, look at, they're going to get a second season out of this. Who'd have thunk when they said, hey, we're going to reboot Suicide Squad, James Gunn is going to do it, that one of the characters that died in it was going to end up spawning off a show that lasted at least two seasons. Probably, I think it's probably successful enough that they'll get as many as they want.
A movie that basically sank DC, rebooted and basically reinvigorated DC, then gave legs to said franchise. I mean, you can't even mathematically, none of that makes any sense.
No. And it's just, I think they get right with this too, is that James Gunn, and he brings a little bit of this over from Marvel, is not being able to, afraid to call out some of the silly stuff of comic books. Like the part when they're debriefing him, he's all, so what's Project Butterfly? He goes, Project Starfish was about a giant fucking starfish. So,
yeah. Well, and it was interesting. Like, again, what James Gunn brought to the table. I'm not the biggest fan of the music that he brought into Peacemaker, but it fucking worked.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wouldn't have told you. I mean, other than maybe some of the more popular songs that they put in there, I didn't know most of that music, but I also loved it, and it fit. Yeah. And it just goes to show you how it's like, how I think James Gunn has his finger on the pulse of how to put music in something, because I know when I've edited stuff, picking a song to put over something is torturous. I'm like constantly,
but
like,
not only just picking a song, but thinking thematically.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking of like making like an Instagram video or a YouTube video of a vacation or something. Yeah. He's doing it for movies where it's like the whole soundtrack fits together. Yeah. It fits together as a movie. It fits together for the scenes. He knows what part of the songs to play. He knows when to have John Cena fucking play the piano, like, which he actually did for that scene. That was not like a double or anything.
Wow.
So that's one of those things too, where like my dad used to complain about how talented, like he used to complain that Justin Timberlake's too talented. He said, you shouldn't be able to sing and act and be that funny. And then he used to say the same thing about Seth MacFarlane. He goes, you should not be able to write, sing, be funny, like do all these things. Like, that's not fair. That's just too many talents for one person. And I almost like, I come out of this feeling the same way about John Cena. It's like, so you can be serious, you can be hilarious, which I knew he could be hilarious from old stuff. Like he's in Cock Blockers. Or I think it's just called Blockers because
we can't say cock.
Because we live in a society.
That's right.
But he was good in that. Like that, he was very funny in that as like a girl dad. You know, I thought he was hilarious in Suicide Squad. And he was great in this. And so it just kind of makes you go like, oh man, this guy's sky's the limit for him. I mean, not
well, sky's
I
think the
limit, about this. He's a giant monster man. So it's like,
he was acting off Idris Elba, who is a phenomenal talent. And like, I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, again, I'm bringing up my wrestling philosophies on this. Like, and I never watched wrestling with Cena, but like, I knew who he was and it never excited me at all. So it's like that immediately was just like the I don't want to know you. And then I got to, I like him on screen.
I got to be honest. I'm usually pretty harsh on like, oh, he's a wrestler trying to be an actor. Anybody that does that really, like
Sam,
MMA. I mean, like Gina Carano or whatever.
Theater.
But wrestling I will say,
theater.
Well, I will point to some success stories. I know we obviously have The Rock.
Yes.
But I mean, Dave Bautista
wrestled for only 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, but we got Dave Bautista. Sure. We now have John Cena. So it's obviously not the worst fucking, you know, breeding grounds for like action comedy stars because they're not afraid to get out on a, hey, how about this? Because they're not afraid to get out of the stage and make a horse's ass out of themselves in front of a bunch of people.
Okay, listen. When you go to see a live wrestling gig, you are looking at ancient history of how to tell story on a stage with no commentary and telling a story through physicality and emotions that you infer the same way we infer emotions through editing. It's all sitting right in a proscenium stage.
Well, I gotta admit, I did see what you shared something on social media recently of some wrestling stuff that I can't remember what was going on. I think that somebody got in the ring and knocked somebody out at the last minute or something. But anyways, one of the guys was making like kind of a weird face. And I kind of dawned on me that I was like, oh, you know, part of the reason they look so ridiculously over the top is they're not acting for the cameras. They're acting for the people in the arena. And so it's like they have to do some of that.
You're getting it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's a valid entertainment.
Yes, you are. You're getting it.
No.
You're getting it because that was the same way the Greeks put the masks on. So at a distance, that emotion that was on the mask could be seen way up in the far peanut galleries. Sam, now you're starting to get it. And I think...
I still don't like it. I still don't like it.
I don't give a fuck. Because I think you're ready to go.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I've got comedians to see. I used to have baseball to watch, but who knows if there's going to be baseball this year because the billionaires are arguing with the millionaires, and it's very frustrating. But no, I got Batman next week. You know what we got next week?
What else?
The Boys animated show is coming out next week.
Wait, what?
The Boys has an animated show where it's like a little half. I don't know if they're 15 minute or half hour animated shorts that are like in the Boys world.
Oh, so
like a different animation house, I think, kind of thing.
Are we looking at something that's going to span into the next season? Like this is going to make sense coming up?
I think so. I think it's one of those things where it's not necessarily going to be like, oh, you need to see this to understand what's going on in season three. I think it's more like, here's a thing that fucking A-Train did in the middle of season one and two or something like that. Or like, you know,
so it's going to bolster what we've already
seen. Or here's
some
character that you've never seen before, you know, getting fucking raped by Homelander or something.
And we laugh about it.
Well, you never know what's coming up next with that show. Oh, and so you know what else I've been watching that's just great, that I'm just so happy it's back, and I'm mad that I waited. I haven't been watching it weekly because now it's like on like episode 8 and it's almost
over. Was it Jack Reacher?
Nah, The Righteous Gemstones. Danny McBride is just
so funny.
I need to
see it. I just haven't.
And what have you been watching? Anything? Any new? I've resisted the Jack Reacher train. You know, Jason Mantzoukas has tried to pull me aboard coming on things.
Jason Mantzoukas can eat it. eat my asshole because he's got nothing for me. But I did like the Jack Reacher. I liked the first Jack Reacher. Let me put it to you that way.
The movie?
Yeah. It's one of those weird things that it's got something to it that's very visceral to me.
See, I never saw it. I had no desire. That was back when I was just like, I didn't understand the whole.
Oh, you need to stop it, Sam.
Well, no, I'm not the biggest Tom Cruise fan. I don't hate him.
I know, but I know.
He's overdone.
I know.
He's so played.
Do it.
But anyway,
do it.
Then when I found out, this is supposed to be like a giant man who like goes to a town and like solves a crime and beats a person up or something, and it's Tom Cruise. I was like, oh, no wonder the fans were so pissed about this movie. And so that's why I was tempted to take, but I mean, just every little clip or whatever, like picture.
Did you like The Transporter?
I don't know that I ever saw it.
Oh, Sam.
Never seen Crank, you know.
I'm not talking about Crank.
I've never seen Transporter. Any of those kind of
The Transporter was really more a B movie that really that turned into an A movie, much like Ninja Assassin, and Jack Reacher is kind of a B movie that like excels in spite of itself. I highly recommend checking it out.
Have you been? So I've been watching that. Have you been watching anything new?
I don't think so. I've been extremely like stupid busy with things. Mm-hmm. And so like my attention span has been in 15 to 20 minute like things. The only thing that I give any real, and again, this is something where we differ and our paths divide, but you know, I've only been watching, you know, and really excited about AEW wrestling. There's nothing yawning about it. And then I am excited. I'm going to go see the Young Bull, Shane Gillis.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was excited that you said he's coming to town. Yeah, I just got to go see Sam Morrell up in Sacramento, and he was good. He put on a good show. So good. Although it was funny, we were kind of there to cheer up my mom, you know, for my aunt passed away from COVID this year or last year, the end of last year, right before Christmas. And she, you know, she needed a night out to do some laughing.
Yeah.
Well, then the guy kind of just goes, hey, anything in the news I can riff on? You know, he was just kind of trying to, you know, you could tell he doesn't have his next hour all the way done yet.
Oh,
you know?
So
No, it wasn't bad at all. Okay. He did some crowd work and stuff, but like, you know, it's, I've seen Chappelle do this too, where he goes like, hey, anybody got anything that they want me to talk about that maybe I could make funny? And somebody goes, Bob Saget dying. And I was like, motherfuckers, I'm trying to get my mom to not think about death right now, and you got to bring up one of the saddest deaths of the last year. Like, god dang it, why would you do that to us? So I was like, we're all having a nice time. But no, yeah, like we were talking about before this, I feel like now's the time, you know, hey, you're vaxxed, you're boosted, get out there and you know, enjoy life again. It's time to go see a comedy show. It's time to go see a Batman. I went and saw Jackass last night.
Made I want to see that so off. Badly.
I have to imagine it has to have the Guinness World Record for most penises in a movie, because
so much
cock and balls.
That's what we need to do, Sam. Is like we walk outside, we take a footstep on the sidewalk, we put both of our hands up, put big middle fingers up, and we just say, "Here I am, and here's where I've always been."
But you know, I laughed my ass off. I gagged once. There was one part that made me want to throw up. But for the most part, I probably could go without seeing anybody hit in the balls for a little while. But it still was a good time at the movies. We were laughing our asses off. And the only other thing I've been watching is we're about halfway through the second season of Euphoria. Me and the fiance, she got into it. Oh, I swear to God, I could tell her that the best TV critics of all time will recommend a show and she will ho-hum it. But if Big Bay Morning's fucking radio show recommends something, then we get to check it out. I misplayed my hand recently.
I won't watch that show because it's based on young girls fucking old guys, and that has nothing to do with what my reality.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a little salacious. It's, you know, but I it's entertaining, and it's one of those shows that's a little bit critically acclaimed. I can actually get my fiance to watch. That's not Big Brother or The Amazing Race or Hell's Kitchen or something. So
yeah, I mean, I love Big Brother, but I've just fallen out of love with it.
Oh no, yeah, she's a religious Big Brother, where not the celebrity bullshit. This that she isn't into, but the real ones in the summertime. It's like, I might as well go out in the garage and do my own thing for an hour while she watches her stories.
That's fine. I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Sam, we covered only really two things, but I think we gave a flip side to each.
Can I give a review to a movie that I've only watched about 20, 30 minutes of?
Sam, this is not a democracy.
This is the forum here.
Yes.
Boy, House of Gucci is what a
I've
watch.
Heard that, I heard that that was absolute garbage from Segura.
It's funny because I just love, like, my fiance loves going saying Father, Son, and House of Gucci. So it's just become a thing we say to each other, just to laugh. And we haven't even gotten to that part of the movie, but it's like, it is funny because, like, there is Adam Driver where he's like,
and she was good in that other movie.
Oh yeah. It's like, but I mean, I think it's one thing to be good in a movie where it's like, hey, play a singer and you're going to be it's like, okay, now you're going to have to play a person who has an Italian accent. Like, if you're going to ask me to do an Italian accent, it's going to sound terrible. You know, I'm going to get into trouble. We're going to get it canceled. So it's just like, there's a lot of that going on. You know, Al Pacino's pretty crazy. Jared Leto's character is pretty crazy. I feel like Adam Driver's trying to downplay it, but it's not, you know, it's almost like there's different people in different movies, and I still didn't even know what it's about. Like, is she a gold digger? Does she love him? Like, I don't, it's just we only got about half an hour in, and we were just like, you ready for bed? I am. Let's go. Like, so I don't even know if we're going to finish it or not, but I think we might just for shits and giggles, just to see how bad it is.
I don't think you want to do that. Don't waste your time. Do something different.
Well, I mean, you know, I just bought Licorice Pizza, you know?
Now that I'm curious about. P.T. Anderson is my shit.
Yeah. And I also just bought, came home and purchased all of the Jackass movies, including the 2.5s and 3.5s and stuff like that. Oh, so I could go back and watch them and enjoy them, because I had such a good time last night. So support your local artists, everybody.
Yeah. And I think with that, Sam, I think we can close this watcher session down until the next time. We got to find some other stuff, though, and we'll talk about that. And
we got the boys covered. So if those are that's coming out soon. So
yeah,
well,
yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'm looking up Jackass 3.5 right now, and it's falling off of the tomato truck as we speak.
See, what do we got coming out in the next few? Not a lot, I don't think. I was going to say Buzz Light or Lightyear, but I think that's not till June.
That is mostly
gay.
I'm not.
You don't. You're not looking forward to that one.
I'm not sure.
I'm cautiously optimistic because they do a pretty good job. You know, it's not like they make terrible movies.
Yeah. We should see.
Oh, you know what I'm looking forward to that's coming? Oh, I didn't realize it's coming out next week. Have you seen the trailer for Our Flag Means Death?
No.
It looks very funny. It's a guy who, it's like Rhys Darby and Taika Waititi are the stars of it. And it's basically like a fancy aristocrat lad decides to sail the open seas with pirates instead.
Oh, I did. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. That comes out next week. And that looks very funny. Yeah. And on March 4th is when we get The Boys Presents Diabolical. They're 12 to 15 minute shorts set in the world of The Boys, each in different animation styles and different voices.
Very nice.
Yeah. No.
All right. So, yeah, maybe we have some things now.
Yeah.
Okay, Sam. Well, let's cap this off.
Yeah, we've gotten the poison out. we've gotten them, but we've been holding up this Boba hate for too long. It was time to release it.
It was.
Morning. Best time of day to go fuck yourself.
There we go. Now we know. Now we know, Sam.
Yeah.
All right, folks.
We get Moon Knight at the end of the month.
I canceled Disney Plus. Maybe I'll
have to slide you a password or something.
Okay, there we go. All right, well, there we go.
Yeah, I give you a password, you give me a password, all of a sudden I got Paramount Plus.
Boom, boom.
So that's how that works.
Whack, wow. I have that sound effect, but I can't find it right now, so we're just going to leave it as. All right, Sam, tell the people good night, and we will see them later.
Bye, everybody.